Hey, it's Kirsten. Do you feel like you're spending way too much money on supplements? When I started out on my health journey, I was also shocked about how expensive high-quality supplements were, especially as I was upping how many I was taking. That's why when I became a practitioner back in 2018, I started offering my clients a way to save up to 25% off many of their supplements through a company called Wellevate, which is spelled Wellevate. Through Wellevate, you can order many of the supplements that you're already taking, like Pure Encapsulations, Gaia Herbs, Enzymedica, and others at discounts of up to 25% off retail. And shipping is free for orders over $49 within the United States. The only way to buy supplements through Wellevate is through a practitioner, and I will earn a small commission at no additional cost to you while you're saving money. So if you want to start saving upwards of 25% off your supplement bill, go to the resources page on my website at carefullyhealing.com/resources and go to the Wellevate section. You don't have to be a client, just set up your account and start saving. I'm Kirsten Ramstrom, a certified holistic health coach, and welcome to the Quest for Healing podcast. Whether you're just starting out on your health journey or you're farther down your path, I've created this podcast to inspire and inform your health journey through, first, some extraordinary healing stories from real people, second, an exploration of some intriguing healing modalities, and third, through conversations with enterprising people who are making a difference in the health of our world. Welcome to episode 44. I'm so excited to have veterinarian Dr. Jeff Feinman back this week for some Q&A about some common pet health symptoms and diseases. If you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, episode number 43, A Truly Holistic Approach to Pet Health with Dr. Jeff, I recommend going and listening to that episode first, as it sets the framework for how Dr. Jeff thinks about the overall health of our pets. There are a lot of concepts and resources that we talked about in that episode, such as the inner terrain of the body and the holistic medical decision-making method, which we refer to as the HMDM. There are links to all of that in the show notes, both from this week's episode and last week's, if you want to learn more. But if you've gotten here and want to skip back to last week's episode, now would be the time to do that. As a reminder, Dr. Jeff is a doctor of veterinary medicine. He's on the faculty of Holistic Actions, and he's also the veterinarian that Anthony William in the Medical Medium referenced in his 2017 Pet Health radio show, which you can still find for free on SoundCloud. Thank you to everyone in our community who submitted questions to me for this. I really appreciate it. And if you know somebody who would benefit from the information in this episode, please feel free to share it with them. So with no further ado, let's jump back into it with Dr. Jeff. Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for coming back for another episode.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that we could do this Q&A because I had gone out to our community to ask for some questions. And I just wanted to make sure that we had a chance to delve into some of the most common problems that people were seeing with their pets. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about was osteoarthritis, which seems really common in dogs and cats. And so when someone's thinking about that in terms of the imbalance that their pet is dealing with, what can they do to directly address that and support their pet while they're dealing with it?
Well, that's great that you went there first, because that is perhaps the quintessence of the best example of individuality. So how you address it is different than how you support it, because it's based on the individual. And all of the methods of support that we discuss are based on manifestations of that arthritis in that individual. And I'll give you one quick example, and that is, we've known for many years that X-ray evidence of severe hip dysplasia may or may not cripple a pet. On the other hand, a pet may be having major, major arthritis problems from minor little X-ray abnormalities, or very little arthritis. And it's all about how that individual responds to the structural changes known as arthritis. So arthritis is typically a breakdown of the joints, joint fluid, bone on bone, you know, all these things that can be life limiting. And the way that we prevent that or even support that is dependent on the individual, but always starting with, you know, fresh food feeding, minimizing vaccinations, because we know from the research that vaccines and arthritis are directly linked. There's even, you know, kinds of arthritis that are due to vaccinations. There's supplements, diet, there's pulsed electromagnetic frequency devices like the CC loop that are awesome support for dogs. We talked last time a little bit about the blueberry kale smoothie, the wild blueberry organic kale smoothie. That's great, great support for arthritic pets. But I guess I would say that it's a really important part of your research into the symptom of your pet, the individual pet. And that is so important because it's evidence of the susceptibility of your individual pet. Susceptibility and sensitivity are the determinants of, you know, how much any trigger, how much any disease is going to impact life. And susceptibility is improved by supporting the body. So we actually reduce the chances of a susceptibility by supporting the body.
Okay, great. And in terms of fleas and ticks, which are common, I'll call them a parasite. I don't know if they're medically considered a parasite.
Ectoparasites outside the body.
Okay, fantastic. So the next question I have is on fleas and ticks. How do you deal with those in pets?
It depends on the individual. And I apologize. Every question you ask me, the answer is going to be, it depends on the context. And they're dealt with differently. If fleas are already on your pet, the very best way to deal with them is with the flea comb, which is a fine-tooth comb that you can use to pick the fleas off. And then liberate the fleas, or, you know, get rid of the fleas that way. But the flea problem is mainly an environmental problem. So the fleas live in your house. So actually, once you get rid of the fleas on your pet, they're going to probably come right back because they're living in the carpet or they're living in the baseboard. So a lot depends on environmental cleanup, which you do by vacuuming, diatomaceous earth in, you know, sprinkled into the carpets, letting it sit for an hour. Some people have fleas living in their yard. And we can have beneficial nematodes, which are an organic form of flea control, actually eating the larvae of the flea. The nematodes eat the larvae to reduce the flea population.
What's a nematode?
It's a worm, little tiny microscopic worm that lives in the soil. Sorry. If you Google beneficial nematodes, you'll find there are a bunch of them out there. Some hardware stores carry them. A lot of holistic pet stores carry them, and you just sprinkle them in the grass, in the dirt, and water them in, and they live out there and feast on the flea larvae.
Fantastic.
There are actually some that do the same for ticks.
Oh, wow. So you can look for those at the store.
I don't think you find those that commonly, but you can find them online for sure.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And so I know that the remedies that many vets give you, I had to give them to Mr. Felix at one point where you put the, there were some drops that I had to put on his fur. And I always felt terrible doing that because I didn't want to touch him for like 2 days after I put those drops on there, because I knew that they were trying to kill ticks and I didn't want to get it on my hands and in my mouth. But then I kept thinking, yeah, but it's all over him too. And I don't like that. So besides the comb, is there anything more beneficial that we can use? Are there essential oils or anything that are helpful for that? Yeah.
There are a ton of other things. The flea combing or bathing are you know, what you do when there are fleas on your pet, you know, you get rid of them off your pet, you get rid of them in the environment. Then, like, Earth Animal has a whole internal food-based flea protocol. There are essential oils, animal or Animalio, animalio.com has Away and other essential oils that can help keep the fleas and ticks away. There are a lot of natural strategies for that. You know, there are powders. Buck Mountain has a, you know, wonderful flea powder that can work very well. And these are, you know, more naturally based products. And the one thing I do want to say about fleas is they do seem to be attracted to imbalanced animals. Sometimes the strategy is upgrading the diet, supporting the body, and the fleas don't come around as often. And a great example might be the two pets that live in the same household, where one's covered with fleas and one doesn't have fleas or doesn't have many fleas, or one has a, you know, horrible flea allergy and another doesn't, and that's based on the individual.
Fantastic. I know on your Holistic Actions website that you have a free fundamentals course. And under the toxics category of that course, there is more on fleas and ticks. And so that's a good resource for people too, among the other things that you just mentioned, which that's such great advice, because I know people are really frustrated with having to deal with fleas and ticks on a more conventional basis. And then in terms of skin allergies, and I realize this is going to be very dependent, there's a lot of factors that go into this one. What are things that we can do to support our pets with that?
Well, that is an important question, because it starts HMDM at number one. What is your goal for your itchy pet or your pet that has hot spots all the time or ear problems all the time or other allergic manifestations? If the goal is to support the body and get rid of the symptoms, then you can do that, you know, with baths, with various natural supplements and products. But our goal is to cure the underlying immune imbalance that results in hypersensitivity or allergy in the first place. And the more balanced that they are, the fewer the allergic symptoms you can see. So frequently the strategy for allergies is the same strategy as for arthritis or other support, with fresh food, with the happiness protocol, with the terrain optimizing protocol, things that help the body to do its job as well as it can do. And part of that is normalizing the immune balance that results in allergic symptoms.
Okay. But there are other things that people can do to support their pet if they are really itchy right now and they really need some relief. And that was the baths and whatnot that you mentioned.
Baths. There's all sorts of wonderful internal supplements that we can use. You know, the blueberry kale smoothie is a wonderful way, full of antioxidants and multivitamins to support the body that has allergies. Try to stick more with, you know, food-based and yeast-free products, gluten-free products. There's a wonderful group called the Pet Health and Nutrition Center. They've got an allergy protocol with vitamins, nutrients, enzymes, mainly food-based things that are good go-to source for all this kind of stuff. And it's also in the fundamentals course.
Fantastic.
And if I plug the premium membership for one sec, you know, premium membership is broken down into categories.
We referred to this in the last episode, but this is the premium membership of the Holistic Actions website. They have a membership, and there's three different levels. There's the free level, which we just mentioned. There's also the premium level, and then there's the all access level. So this is the premium level that we're talking about.
Correct. In the membership of any sort, the premium or all access is broken down in the resource area. allergies or arthritis or other diseases and symptoms, typically we organize things based on the systems in the body. So an endocrine area, a brain and behavior area, and each one of those areas has all of the tips and tricks and webinars and whatnot that apply to supporting the body and curing the underlying energetic imbalance.
Oh, that sounds incredibly helpful.
One of the webinars that's available is from a board-certified specialist vet dermatologist on allergies. And her focus mainly was on building the terrain.
Fantastic. So if you participate in the premium membership or the all-access membership, you'll have access to that. How wonderful that those resources are now available. I remember when I had Mr. Felix, there were no resources like this available. And that would have been so helpful to me for all the health issues that he had over his very long 18 years. But it's fantastic that you have that available now. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was diabetes. Obviously, this is a very big concern in people and is becoming a bigger concern in pets. Do you have any recommendations for that?
Well, the number one thing is diet when it comes to diabetes, diet and weight control, especially in kitty cats that often eat a dry food-based diet and are often overweight. Both those things are risk factors for bringing on diabetes in cats that when they're resolved, the body is able to actually resolve the diabetes. You know, I know kitties that go on insulin that are able to actually go off insulin just by losing weight and going on the fresh food diet.
Okay, fantastic. And as we've already mentioned, that fresh food diet, we had talked about it in the previous episode, that you can find out more about that in the free fundamentals course on the HA website. So that's fantastic. Okay. And in terms of otitis extrema, which that's the technical name for it. We all know them as ear infections. Are there any topical solutions? I think what we've seen is the trend from what we've been talking about is there is clearly a body environment issue when any of these things are popping up. And so the first step would be working on, you know, the underlying environment in their body. But in terms of ear infections, are there any recommendations you have for drops or anything that would make that less painful for the pet as it's going on?
Sure. Sensitive ears is a really big issue. Even sometimes when we're supporting the body, you know, if an ear problem crops up, it's hard to keep supporting the body in the face of a sensitive or painful otitis externa. And yeah, just like you said, otitis externa, it's just an external ear infection. It's always a manifestation of allergies. So often the first manifestation, you know, one of their puppies have red ears and they go to the vet says, oh, you know, he's got an ear infection. Let's put the steroid in the ear. The redness goes away. But how does that actually get rid of the underlying problem or not? Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, there are lots of drops, topicals, other ways to support ears, but it depends on the manifestations of the symptoms. For example, a red ear is going to be different than an ear that's full of discharge or a swollen ear, but they're all called ear infections or otitis externa. So it may just be that's like an enzyme like Zymox, which is an enzyme product. It's all that you need to support the ear, or cleaning out the ear is all that you need. Garlic and mullein, a lot of the same things that support us when we have otitis externa work well for animals.
Okay, so a garlic mullein ear oil would be an appropriate thing to use.
It would be totally appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, but when it comes to painful ear infections, it's a good idea to see your vet, but you know, to make sure there's no other underlying problem, but it's all part of the context. You know, that's part of the information you get, because they're going to give the conventional treatment is a steroid and antibiotic cream. And that will get rid of the symptoms quickly. but it may not get rid of them permanently. And often they go away, come back, go away, come back.
Okay. And especially if it's coming back, that symptom is trying to tell you something.
Right.
Fantastic. Exactly. Dental disease. I know my vet was always trying to get me to brush Mr. Felix's teeth. And I will tell you, he would have none of that. There was none of that going on at our house. And he paid the price. I think he only had 6 or 8 teeth left in his mouth by the time he moved to the dearly departed. So what would be some of your advice for maintaining animals' teeth? It seems to me they weren't born having a bathroom with a cup with a toothbrush. Is it the diet that we're giving them now that tends to lead to those dental problems, or is it something else?
Well, you went to the place that I was about to go to, and that is that they don't brush their teeth in the wild. But you know, it's like Archie, who doesn't get his teeth brushed, but he's asleep right now, is going to have to miss a demo, you know, the pearly white, because it's usually a combination of genetics. So breed, you know, certain breeds have more dental issues than others, whereas, you know, mixed breeds that, you know, like Archie tend to not have, you know, the same problems that like a small little purebred dog has. Diet is a huge one. There's a vet in, I believe, Dr. Lonsdale's in Australia, teaches the raw meaty bone diet. And then it's a diet based on eating raw meaty bones. And that's how animals actually usually keep their teeth clean, is by eating big chunks of meat and big chunks of, you know, bone, edible bones, not recreational bones.
Okay.
Brushing is not really, you know, a big part of that. But you can brush very easily with a chicken neck or something that they brush their own teeth with that they want to eat.
Okay. It's interesting because one of the things that Anthony William mentioned in the live that he did about dental issues was that in humans, lots of protein in our gums is very detrimental to our teeth. But of course, we have to remember that our pets, dogs and cats and other animals, they are not constructed the same way that we are. Their stomach digestion is different than ours is. And the things they need to eat to support their best health are different from what we want to eat. And so while this is not the recommended approach for humans, these are, as we would say, completely different beasts.
And yeah, I do apologize because I know we didn't go into that in this episode, but yeah, that is the fundamental issue, is eating a species appropriate diet. And whereas people are, you know, designed to be more plant-based than vegan, dogs and cats, not so much. And yeah, the protein is a big issue for people and can be for animals, but not so much.
Yes, I think that's a great point. Species-specific diet, it matters. Great. So I know that urinary tract issues are very common with pets. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that one because it's really important, very common, and it may be among the best examples of the importance of holistic management, because now we're finding that a big part of what used to be called feline, you know, lower urinary tract disease or feline interstitial cystitis, or a lot of those symptoms, which are clues that something is going on in the body, but a lot of them are secondary to lifestyle. So the number one way to address that in kitty cats is environmental enrichment. So extra hiding place. Because scared cats may manifest their stress via their urinary symptoms. The bladder is one of the cat's big stress organs. Increasing water consumption in kitty cats, actually dogs and cats, big supportive way for the body to be able to heal from a UTI. Cranberry extract, vitamin C, all these things are great ways to support the body while it heals. But all along, you want to avoid the number one trigger for urinary problems in dogs and especially cats. And the number one trigger is dry food.
And why is that?
Every dry food is 40, 50% or more carbohydrates, which cats don't need, which predisposes them to diabetes, obesity, to all kinds of things, as well as urinary problems like cystitis and even kidney problems. And the other big part of the dry food that you want to avoid is subclinical dehydration that it can create in the body. When a kitty cat is chronically subclinically dehydrated, then they're prone to developing kidney and bladder problems later on in life or even when they're younger.
Wow. We dealt with lots of those at my house. I wish I had had this information 25 years ago. My goodness. And we had lots of dry food because that's what the doctor told us was the best thing.
Right.
And that reiterates your point that we just talked about a second ago, species-specific diet. And if that dry food is 40 to 50% carbs, where cats need primarily a meat-based diet. And we did talk about this more in the first episode. So if you want more on that, go to that first episode. But what you're saying is most of that dry food doesn't give them the balance of nutrition that they actually need. And it's dry.
Yeah. And they are complete and balanced. But it's Randy Wysong, who's a vet nutritionist that has a one food. It's a myth. The complete and balanced myth is that that's not necessarily what's providing the best food for a dog or a cat.
Okay.
Just like we know that you can't be healthy as a person eating a processed food diet. And there are links, direct links to cancer. The more processed food you eat, the more diseases like cancer you can be predisposed to.
Wow. Such good information. Okay. Hopefully that will save somebody from dealing with what Mr. Felix and I dealt with. I really wish we had had that then. So fantastic.
It's important because the environmental enrichment piece that is the key is part of what is given feline urinary symptoms now named Pandora syndrome. And the reason I even mentioned Pandora as in, a plethora or Pandora's box of symptoms and diseases that are all helped by environmental enrichment is that we have a blog on strategies to help Pandora. I believe it's something like, are urinary problems inevitable in cats? It's one of the more recent blogs, but if you're on the Holistic Actions website and you just search for the word Pandora, it'll probably come right up.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes so people will be able to find that easily.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you. Moving on from that, I wanted to talk about some other things that come up with pets. And one of them, right now it's August, and most recently it was 4th of July weekend. And all the fireworks shows were happening. And I know so many friends who have dogs that are so traumatized by fireworks and lightning.
Yeah.
What drives that? And is there anything they can do to better support their dogs for that? It seems to me like that's more of an emotional support situation, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, it depends. It depends on the context of the disease and the individual and the severity of the symptom. There are a ton of research-proven ways to support, whether it's CBDs or a thunder shirt or other strategies that support the body. And it may just be playing calming music or isolating them in the bathroom where they're not hearing the vibrations. We're feeling the vibrations from the thunder and seeing lightning, but that may be one of the areas because all these areas that you described are going to be helped by helping the underlying imbalance. And when it comes to fears, phobias, and behavior issues that maybe aren't being helped 100% by or enough by these strategies, in my opinion, the best way to deal with them is homeopathically. And homeopathy is just a science based on symptoms, whereby you help balance out the energetic imbalance that created the thunder phobia or any phobia, loud noise phobia, in the first place. And I mentioned homeopathy now there because fears and phobias are a great example of susceptibility. And what homeopathy is best at is decreasing or normalizing the susceptibility of the individual to triggers like thunder, fireworks, any loud noise, riding in the car, any fear or phobia.
And so when you're saying homeopathy, I am thinking about the little sugar pills.
Yep.
And so what you're saying is if you can find a homeopath who's focused on pets, they would be able to talk you through which of those would be helpful to support your pet.
Yep. What a homeopathic intake looks like is they delve into all of the symptoms to put it together, to figure out what's going on, internally. And that leads to, a remedy, a homeopathic remedy for the symptom. But that can help relieve the symptom because there are no remedies for symptoms. Now, chronic symptoms, they're all for the imbalance that created the symptom in the first place. And, I apologize for opening that door because we could spend a whole episode talking about that approach, which is basically a symptomatic approach to understanding what the body is telling us. And I do have to say that this is all hypothetical and that there are tons and tons of research out there that document this. And so we've got all the experience. We've got hundreds of years of experience to prove that. The evidence, it's there, but it's a little bit hidden. And yes, your vet homeopath is the best place to research that.
Fantastic.
One of the number one strategies for fears and phobias is nose work, sniffing, get a snuffle mat or a way to engage them via their nose, which will help normalize their internal energetic imbalance. You can do that by, taking them outside and going on a therapeutic sniff walk or a snuffle mat, which is a little mat that you hide treats in that they sniff away at. That can help reduce all behavior issues.
And then the next question is around when pets eat grass. I've heard a lot of different things about this. Is this because they're having a mineral deficiency or a nutrient deficiency? Because what I've always seen is a lot of them will eat grass and then they throw it right up. And obviously that creates some level of concern and people are always trying to stop the pets from doing that. But is that really the result of a mineral deficiency?
It can be an actual physical imbalance. And sometimes, adding minerals is indeed the answer to the problem. But it's also often a common but abnormal symptom that's a clue that there's an imbalance, often an imbalance in the GI tract that, responds to appropriate diet, fresh food feeding, probiotics, rotation of probiotics. There are things called soil-based probiotics that you can supplement your pets with that they may be going for in the grass, but some pets just like to eat grass. Some pets eat grass because they are nauseous and they know that eating grass makes them vomit. So it depends on the individual.
Depends on the individual. Great answer. And my last one, we dealt with this a lot at my house, hairballs, coughing up hairballs, spitting out big hairballs. What does that come from?
Well, it depends on frequency, it depends on the severity, it depends on the amount of grooming. A lot of the times it's just a hair, excess hair that's built up because it's an underlying allergic problem and excess grooming in the kitty. But throwing up hairballs is also a common but abnormal symptom. Frequently, we can address all of the, supportive measures, but because there is an underlying issue, they still vomit. And really, the strategy is to deal with the underlying energetic imbalance, also frequently using homeopathy. With the hairballs, brushing, getting out the excess hair, fresh food, feeding, enzymes between meals. Enzymes between meals dissolves hair. And papaya enzymes in cats are wonderful. Bromelain, lots of enzymes that will actually help dissolve the hair. As it was supposed to be dissolved, because the hairball vomiting is often a weakness in the digestive ability of the individual. So by helping them with digestive enzymes, you can help reduce the hairball vomiting.
Okay. So it sounds like it's sort of two-pronged, depending on the situation, where there may be skin allergies at play, but there's also digestive issues at play. And this is all to your point that these symptoms are telling us things. And it does depend on the case to try to suss out which piece of the pie you're dealing with there, but there are ways to give it support. And it sounds like one of the really basic things is that fresh food diet, and that helps with so many things.
It really does. And frequently, when I first see somebody on the Holistic Actions Forum, or if I see them as a private patient, frequently the first thing we'll do is upgrade the diet to a more fresh food-based diet. Increase the energy, adding things like raw heart, freeze-dried heart, or other organ supplements to try and increase the energy and balance of the GI tract. But probiotics and the balance of the bacteria, the good bacteria that live in the body, is very, very important. And as we are learning in science, the more the variety in the diet, and the more the variety of the population of bacteria in the intestines, the better balanced and the better the GI tract.
Perfect. Dr. Jeff, this has been so incredible. The amount of information that you have given to us is such a gift. I so appreciate you taking all of the time to record both of these episodes with me. I know there's going to be a lot of pets out there who benefit from this, and a lot of humans who will be very happy with this information too, because it will give them a lot of peace about the best ways that they can take care of their pets.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So all I can say is, I hope that we can help one pet out there. So thank you. And thank you, Anthony, for everything.
For bringing us together and all of his wisdom. Yeah. Exactly. So can you remind people where they can find you on social media and online?
The best place online is holisticactions.com, where we blog, and you'll find a lot of my musings and answers to questions on the forum, which is holisticactions.com/forum. There's a Facebook group. Anyone is welcome to ask for admission to the Facebook group. I'm not in the Facebook group so much, but there are a lot of people that understand the basis of vitality and balance and can help support you with your questions. Instagram is an up-and-coming thing. We're about to start questions, pet parent questions on YouTube. So actually, one thing that we're going to start to do is every day send out a minute or two or three, probably under a 2-minute reply to common questions like you're asking me.
Perfect. I will put links to all of that in the show notes so people can find you easily. Again, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I hope you found this episode helpful. For a free download of Dr. Jeff's Holistic Actions Holistic Medical Decision-Making Guide, or the HMDM, go to podcast.carefullyhealing.com/HMDM. Also, Dr. Jeff has kindly offered $10 off the first month of an all-access membership for the Holistic Actions Academy. Just go to the Holistic Actions website at holisticactions.com, click on the HA Academy, and use the discount code HAPPYPET10. I will also include a link to this in the show notes. Show notes for this episode, episode 44, are available on my website at carefullyhealing.com/podcast, and will include links to many of the things that we referenced today. If you're looking for additional support in your own health journey, you can learn more about how we can work together directly by going to my health coaching website at carefullyhealing.com or by finding me on social media on Instagram at carefullyhealingwithkirsten or on Facebook at carefullyhealing. If you've been enjoying the Quest for Healing podcast, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for joining me today on the Quest for Healing podcast. These discussions are not intended to provide medical advice, but rather to give you examples of methods and modalities that you may find interesting, informative, or helpful. Please work with your doctor as you undertake your own health journey. Hey, it's Kirsten. Before I started out on my health journey, I didn't know how poisonous many of the cleaners I used in my home were. Then when I started trying to clean the toxins out of my body, I started to question if the cleaners I was using were just adding back more. And how does that make sense when we're using toxic chemicals to get things clean? So imagine how excited I was when I found non-toxic, fragrance-free, essential oil-free Branch Basics cleaners. Now I use them for many things around my house, including scrubbing my kitchen and bathroom, cleaning my juicer, and as the laundry detergent for cleaning my clothes. Plus, it's also the soap that I use to wash my fruit because it's also sodium lauryl sulfate free. So check out branchbasics.com. Their starter kits make it so easy to get started, and you can use my code CAREFULLYHEALING, which is all one word, for 15% off your purchase. And because I always want to be upfront with you, this is an affiliate link, so I will earn a small commission if you buy using my code. But I only recommend this product because I love it and use it myself. So if you're ready to start cleaning your home with a healthier cleaner, go to branchbasics.com.